May we bow with prayer. Our Father, we thank you for opportunities such as this to engage in a public worship. For everyone around the world does not have as much freedom as do we. And so we thank you for the community church. And we thank you for this time of worship. And we thank you for each one who is in this sanctuary. And we pray, Father, that the reality of the Holy Spirit would be very precious to each person. For each one who has a problem, who has a pain, who has a hurt, who has a question, or whatever, we pray that you would come and you would bless and give to us that which we desire. We thank you for the experience of baptism, and we pray your blessing upon this candidate and upon we who watch. In Jesus' name, amen. In the New Testament, there are two ordinances, the ordinance of baptism and the ordinance of the Lord's Supper. Both of these ordinances have no saving grace attached to them, I believe. I feel that they are symbols and they are pictures of what has happened to a person. For example, how could this water affect the soul which is within the body? And so a person is baptized not to be saved, but a person is baptized because they are saved. And in the act of baptism, they are preaching a sermon to the effect that they want to have a changed life. And they have accepted the Lord as their personal Savior, and now they are showing forth what has happened. That is to say that a person is buried in a liquid grave, but to experience the resurrection, to walk in the newness of life that Jesus can give. Jesus came to John and said, John, I want you to baptize me. John said, Jesus, you need to tell me you're coming to me. I should be baptized with you. But Jesus said, no, John, this is the way it should be. This is the way it should be. I want you to baptize me. And so John baptized Jesus. And from that day forward, we have been baptized as people in the name of Jesus. Chapter 4, and it says, if you have really heard his voice and learned from him the truth concerning himself, then throw off your old ways, and now your attitudes and thoughts must be constantly changing for the better. You must be a new and a different person, holy and good. So clothe yourself with this new nature. And we pray, Judy, that in your Christian life ahead, you will constantly be clothing yourself with the new nature that God can give. Mr. Judy Kerr. Upon your public profession of faith and in obedience to the command of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, I baptize you, my sister, Judy Kerr, in the name of the Father, the Son, and Holy Ghost. You're very good to be baptized. You walk in the newness of life.
We welcome you to our service on this Lord's Day. And you who worship with us as guests and as visitors, we appreciate your presence. We hope that you have taken time to slide the card, which you'll find before you in the pew rack. The announcements are in the bulletin. We trust that you will take advantage of what the community church offers this week in terms of spiritual growth. All are very important, but may I emphasize the one that says special, and that is relative to our midweek hour, 7:30. The format will change somewhat this Wednesday night in that we will meet in the social hall. And our guest speaker, the Reverend Herb Bryant and his wife, will present a most unusual mission interpretation. They are just returning from Okinawa, Hong Kong, the Philippines, Burma, Thailand, and Northeast India. And with tape recordings and with color slides, I know the evening is going to be well worth our coming, and we hope that you will make it a point to come even right now. You will plan to be present Wednesday night. Following the worship hour in the sanctuary, we would invite you to stay for the annual business meeting. The reports are all printed. Consequently, we will not be there long. We have sandwiches, hopefully, to serve you. Maybe we ought to take a sandwich count. Did some bring extra sandwiches? Several have indicated that they have, yes. Okay, we're in good shape. I can say I hope that all of you stay now for the annual meeting. One of the highlights will be the showing of color slides of the year 1973 in review. And many of you are in some of the slides, so you want to come and see yourself. Last Sunday, when we served communion, we forgot to make a comment about the communion offering envelopes, which were in the pew racks. This is the way whereby we finance Project Concern. And as you attend the annual meeting, you'll see what Project Concern has done with your silver offering. So if you feel so inclined, make your silver contribution in this envelope and drop it in the collection plate when it comes your way. Sometimes people say, well, the people that are helped, do they ever come back? Do they ever write letters? Do they ever say they are appreciative of what has been given to them? Yes, we've had a number of comments, and unknowing to you, in our congregation 3 weeks ago, was an individual who had been helped, and he sent me this card, and I'd like to share it with you. Some of you will recall he was the one that came and listened to the junior choir while they were rehearsing one Wednesday night, waiting for me to come to make the arrangements for him. He says, I'm the fellow that had to have a place to sleep that night, and I saw you in church this Sunday. God bless you for your loving, reaching heart. Thank you for, and then he underscored, speaking to me at church. I was feeling inward, and I was feeling scared. You're such a message of love for your church, and God is blessing the church. So many blessings come upon you, referring to himself, that all you can do is just to shout, joy to the heavens. Best wishes to you and your wife and the church. And so here is a good concrete example of what comes about when you make your contribution. May our children come forward for the children's sermon, please.
One side.
Why did I? Okay, you can start. But it looks just like flour, doesn't it? Okay, let's try this. Do you want to try? Well, it looks like flour, but what do you think it is? I wasn't that far, no. One, two, three, four, one, two, oh, everybody knows what baking powder is.
Yeah.
Okay, we got sugar, we got soda, we got cornstarch, we got baking powder, we got two left. Who wants to try it? What? Okay, stop flour. If you want to try it, try it. Somebody got it down. Let me go. Okay, salt. But they all look alike, don't they? And from a distance, I would not really know which is which. Jesus said in Matthew 7 that you are to be one of these. You say you're going to be the cornstarch of the world? You say you're supposed to be the sugar of the world? The Christians were not complete, but that's not what he's asking us to do. What did he ask us to do? The salt. Jesus said, you, Lord, here, are the salt of the earth. Now, what does salt do? When you take soup, how do you feel now? You like drink of water? It makes you thirsty, doesn't it? Okay, Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. And he is the water of life. And he satisfies all of our thirst. And so Christians, in one sense of the word, are to make other people thirsty for God. And Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. Not just to season, not just to make life better, but you as a young person have an obligation to bring people thirst to the great food. So remember the six white brothers. They're all real nice, but there's one that's real special. And that's the salt of it. Okay? We'll see you next Sunday. Lord bless you.
We bow for our morning prayer. Our Father, we thank you for times such as this when we can just sit back and relax and talk to God. We would want to talk to you like we would talk to our Father in heaven or on earth. We are your children. And so, our Father, as your children, we come to you. We have some problems. We have some cares. We have a lot of questions. And yet we know that you can answer and bless and fulfill because you're God. You are our Father. And children always don't do what's right, and children always do not have the right answers. Generally, our fathers do. And so spiritually we turn to you knowing that you always are right. And what you do is right and just and good, and only so, for our benefit. So we pray, our Father, you would bless each one in the sanctuary. We pray for our young people. We pray for the older young people as they are preparing for their snow camp, that it might be a real means whereby our young people become closer to you and discover your will for their life. We pray for every member of our church, for those who serve and who will be elected to serve on our official board, and for all the workings of our church. It takes a lot of work to operate a church efficiently so that the outreach can be had. And so for all who do so much, our Father, we pause to say thank you, but then we ask that you bless us to do even more. We pray for our guests that are with us today worshiping, that this hour would be extremely beneficial to them. They would feel your presence, and in so doing would have a closer relationship with you. I suppose the most important thing is to ask our Father that you forgive us of our sins and cleanse us and bless us so that we in turn might be blessings to others. And may we dedicate ourselves personally to read your word and to commune with you more in 74 than we did in 73. This is our prayer we make in Jesus' name. Amen.